Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Morishima et al. Titled, High Intensity Resistance Exercise with Low Repetitions Maintains Endothelial Function. This article was published June 1st, 2018. Joining me today are Associate Editor Masafumi Kitakaze, Lead Author Takuma Morishima, and content expert Osamu Tsukamoto. Let's get started.
Okay, my name is Masafumi Kitakaze, one of the associate editors on AJP. I'd like to start podcast for the excellent original article of Dr. Morishima and co-workers regarding the relationship between the exercise and the endothelial dysfunction. The resistance exercise is known to impair the endothelial function, and Dr. Morishima and co-workers found that the high intensity with low repetition prevented the impairment of endothelial dysfunction. This is very interesting from the viewpoint of endothelial physiology. So, Takuma, please briefly explain what you have achieved in your paper.
Thank you, Masafumi, to give me this great opportunity. Although resistance exercise has functional and physiological benefit, resistance exercise is known to induce endothelial dysfunction. Therefore, in the present study, we investigated the effect of high-intensity resistance exercise with low repetition on endothelial function. We found that resistance exercise using moderate intensity with moderate repetition and low intensity with high repetitions cause significant impairment in endothelial function, which can be prevented by resistance exercise using high intensity with low repetitions. This study should be helpful in providing novel exercise strategy to prevent resistance exercise-induced endothelial dysfunction.
Okay, thank you, Takuma. So, Osamu, please provide the impression and the question of this paper to Takuma.
To me, it's very impressive that the detrimental effect of resistance exercise on endothelial function was observed in young healthy volunteers because we usually recognize that regular exercise is beneficial for health. Recently, many people become more aware of health maintenance and have regular exercise programs. The current study provided a variable clue to prevent the anterior dysfunction during resistance exercise, which may be beneficial for making an exercise prescription. However, it's unclear whether the same is true in women, elders, or patients with anterior dysfunction due to hypertension or diabetes mellitus, which should be verified in the future study.
Thank you for an important question, Osamu. It is important to clear whether the findings of the present study can apply for female, old, and patient with hypertension and hypoglycemia. It is our next task of this study area. However, we believe that high-intensity resistance exercise with low repetition is also effective too as an exercise prescription for a wide variety of people.
Thank you, Takuma. So, Osamu, please provide a question or comment to Takuma.
My question is about underlying mechanism in which anterior function was maintained by low repetition despite high-intensity resistance exercise.
Previous studies reported that sustained rise in blood pressure impairs endothelial function. At this point, high-intensity resistance exercise with low repetition is commonly used to improve muscle strength. Because of low repetitions and long-lasting period between sets, elevation in blood pressure is temporal compared with that affected by moderate intensity resistance exercise with moderate repetitions. In the present study, resistance exercise-induced rise in blood pressure was significantly lower in the high-intensity resistance exercise with low repetitions than in the resistance exercise using moderate intensity with moderate repetitions and low intensity with high repetitions. Therefore, we believe that lower blood pressure during resistance exercise is one of the mechanisms of the present study.
So that means the pressure seems to be important. So Osamu, please make the next question.
Next question is about the type of exercise, because aerobic exercise is recognized to be beneficial for cardiovascular health. So I would like to know whether the temporal elevation in blood pressure during aerobic exercise also impair anterior function.
According to your suggestion, aerobic exercise acutely reduces anterior function evaluated by FMD. However, the reduced percentage of FMD after aerobic exercise is affected by increased vessel diameter. We think that the reduced FMD by aerobic exercise does not reflect anterior dysfunction. As you know, aerobic exercise enhances vasodilation factors such as NO, which can negate the effect of blood pressure rise during aerobic exercise.
Oh, that seems to be very, very interesting. So, Osamu, do you have another questions about his study?
Yes. From clinical point of view, I'd like to know about cumulative risk. I think exercise-induced anterior dysfunction is temporary, but do repetitive exposure to exercise-induced anterior dysfunction lead to the persistent anterior dysfunction?
Yes, some previous studies indicated that chronic resistance exercise increases arterial stiffness. We think that increased arterial stiffness by chronic resistance exercise is due to repetitive exposures of acute anterior dysfunction. In the future study, we need to examine long-term effect of high-intensity resistance exercise with low repetitions. If this type of resistance exercise does not increase arterial stiffness, the finding should be important from clinical point of view.
Dr. Morishima, your data seems to be very similar to preconditioning. So, but the preconditioning seems to be kind of different from your study. So we should clarify what the mechanisms, what the differences between preconditioning and your study. And thank you very much for the precious question, Osamu. We are getting very close to the nature of this precious study, and we would like to watch the future extensive study beyond this paper, which should be submitted in AJP. Thank you very much for the participation.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.